If I could ask my brother, Derek Outley, to come to the platform, I'm going to get another microphone ready. Yeah. Get a mic ready for my bro just in case he wants to talk in it or something. He can do that. Hey, everybody. First of all, if you're a guest, welcome. You don't know us. I'm Josh. This is Derek. We are both pastors here at Church on the Rock. This is also my brother-in-law, Derek. He married my sister, so we are family. I've known him a long, long, long time. I could tell you stories of crazy things we've done and stuff that I wish I could unsee from our childhood or so forth. But we've been in ministry for years together, just done life together. And I always say, so people ask me, like, you know, do you have siblings or whatever? Like, yeah, well, I have a brother and a sister. And what I mean is, like, this is my brother. Like, we're not from that part of the South. You know what I'm saying? But I claim him as my brother. You understand? And so, because I didn't get one, so this is how God gave me a brother. But here's what I wanted to do today. I just wanted to make a very quick announcement. I wanted you to hear this from us, not to hear this from the grapevine, okay? So there's just a little bit of news that we want to make sure that you know, and we just wanted to make sure that you hear from us. And the announcement is this, that Pastor Derek is going to be leaving the Church on the Rock staff. Okay, I know, right? I was like, oh, okay, but listen. All right. He is not leaving our church. He is not leaving his role as pastor. He is not leaving our serve team. He is not going to leave our board of directors. He's not going to leave the opportunity to communicate to us on a consistent basis the way that he always has. All that he's doing is earning his income a different way. And so he came to me, said, hey, Josh, there's an opportunity has come my way. I didn't see it coming, I didn't expect it, and I just wanted to talk to you. And he basically was like, I need your advice as my brother, I want your advice as my pastor, like as my friend, just talk to me. And so I was in this process with him the entire time. And here's what I told him. I said, look, man, selfishly, I want you to stay on our staff forever. That's what I want selfishly. However, this opportunity, bro, like, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I really don't. And if you could go left, you could go right. And I don't think there's a wrong answer. It's just up to you. And man, we champion you and your family, whatever you guys decide to do. And so ultimately he said, hey, this is an adventure and I'm excited about it. And like, I want to try it. I want to go for it. And I said, do it, man. Let's do this. And so I wanted you to hear from us. Here's what I didn't want to happen is that, you know, 3 weeks from now, you're like, Derek's not on staff anymore? Like, what? Like, there was not a fight in the backyard at a family barbecue, and he quit. Nobody's upset. Like, that's not what it is. It's just simply an opportunity that he had that he said, hey, I just want to seize it. I want to see what's out there, and it's a new adventure. So I just wanted, what we're going to do is pray for him, but I just wanted you to hear it from us. And then I handed him a mic. You don't have to say anything, but in case you want to, I wanted you to be able to say anything you want to our church.
I love you guys. I decided to quit before they could fire me. Just a piece of advice. No, not really. I do love you guys. I'll be here every Sunday. Nothing's really changing on the Sunday roll. Just the Monday through Friday things changing for me. So
Yeah,
I'll still be a part of the family.
That's right. Yeah. So we just wanted you to hear it from us, right? So that you didn't fill in the blanks with something that's like, well, what happened? What went wrong? Honestly, nothing. And so
I'm not pregnant, by the way. That's a lie.
So as much as the Church on the Rock staff is going to miss Derek in the office on a day-to-day basis in the operations of our church, the church family is not going to, you probably won't recognize much of a difference, to be honest with you, in the way that he serves and makes an impact on our church. But again, I just wanted to take the time to, as public a face, a voice, and a presence as he is to our church, I wanted to publicly declare the change that's being made for him. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask you just to, if you're comfortable or want to or whatever, just sort of stretch your hands out toward Derek. He's going to be a representation of his entire family. If you're at church online, we'd love for you to just stretch your hands toward your screens, and we're just going to pray a prayer of blessing as he transitions into a new season and a new adventure. Father, we love you, God. We are so grateful for your goodness, God, for your grace. We are so grateful, Lord God, for your sovereignty. And here's what I know, Lord God, a door opened for Derek that I believe you opened for him, Lord God, for his family to experience something new, a new season, a new chapter. And so, Father, we truly just get behind them and champion them in this new venture. I love that he's excited. I love that there's some unknowns and there's some things to achieve and to conquer. And I'm just very, very excited for this next season in their lives, Lord God. And so our prayer as a church family is that you would just just bless them beyond measure as they make this transition. Thank you so much, Lord God, that we will still have them in our church family, have them a part of the vision and the mission of what we do. But Father, as he just simply transitions from the way that he earns his income, we just pray for your great favor over their lives, Lord God. And I pray that the best days are yet to come for Pastor Derek and the Outley family. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Love you, brother. Good. All right. Hey, thanks for that. I just wanted to make sure that you heard that from us and to really fully understand, like, everything is cool. So it's just a small transition. Yeah, sound good, everybody? All right, y'all ready to get into today's message? I am. I'm excited. But here's what I want to do before I can get into today's message. I have to say thank you to Pastor Anthony. My goodness, is he in the room right now, Pastor Anthony? He's probably outside helping getting ready for our little after party. There he is. Man, thank you for holding it down, You were not a substitute teacher last week. You were the first string guy, and that was a powerful and timely word. And what I love is that God knows how to serve his people. He knows what his people need, and the word that he put in Pastor Anthony's heart was the word for this house in that time. And otherwise, I'd have preached something different. And so, bro, just thank you so much for serving us so well. It was powerful. Give it up. If you missed it, if you didn't catch it, I am just saying you should go back and watch it. It is very powerful. And if you did hear it, you would say amen, right? Like, it was a good word. And I just appreciate him covering for me in my absence. Okay, let's get into the message today. Y'all ready? Let's do it. I already see people with notes in their hands. If you're online, it's in the comments section. You can find notes digitally if you want to. For you, it's in the seat backs in front of you or underneath the front row chairs. And then you don't have to have anything. You can just, I'm going to have all the scriptures right here on the screen. We're going to start with our verse that we've been memorizing. Come on, how many of you guys can tell it to me before I even put it on the screen? There it is. That's it. Good job, everybody. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Never stop praying. Each year, twice a year, we do seasons of 21 days of prayer. And I won't get into the whys, but twice a year, January and August, we do seasons of 21 days of prayer. Today is day 22, everybody. It's day 22, okay? But this verse remains because we'll never stop praying. It's not that we pray 42 days a year. We pray 365 days a year. We just have a different flow and a corporate focus in those 42 days a year. Does that make sense? So I want to make sure that we keep the heartbeat of prayer in this house, because listen to me carefully. Nothing happens in the spiritual without prayer. Amen. Nothing. It's like the dirty work that gets the mission accomplished from God's heart in the earth today. So we will never stop praying. Today's message title, though, that I want to go into is this one right here. Bold warfare is what we're going to talk about today. Bold warfare. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you follow Christ Jesus, I would like to unapologetically say to you, you are in a fight. Welcome. Welcome to Church on the Rock. We're here to lift you up. You're in a fight. You are in a fight. It's a spiritual fight because there is a real spiritual reality that goes on in our lives. In fact, it's one third of who we are. We're triune beings, and we are spiritual beings, right? So when this body goes away, I will still exist. I will still function. I will still move. This is what God put me inside of, which is not always the greatest thing, but it's what I got, right? All it is what carries who I really am. And what I want to do today is I just want to talk about warfare and the fact that there's this spiritual battle that's going on around us, and I want to talk about it a little bit with us today. Are you ready? All right, let's get into it. Let's go right to God's Word. I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 6. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church, and he's saying this, hey, a final word. So at the end of his letter, final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So I've given you all this encouragement, but the last thing I'm going to say to you is that you need to be strong. You need to operate in his power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to do what? Stand firm. Like there's some, like, we got to take a stance as followers of Christ Jesus. Amen. So I want you to be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil, because the enemy has a plan to wreck our lives. Like in the first song, when he was trying to wreck our technology. Come on, some of y'all are like, what is really going on here? Technical difficulties. Let me tell you something. The enemy has a strategy to disrupt what God is trying to do. So I'm standing on the front row right there this morning going, I'm not even surprised this is happening right now. I'm about to preach about warfare. Should I be surprised that some adversity has already come into our service from the onset, right from the beginning? It didn't catch me off guard at all because I have an understanding. We're in a fight and he's got strategies. But he goes on to say that, hey, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world and against mighty powers. I want you to recognize that we fight some mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in heavenly places. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about, like, how do we do it? Because it's one thing, like, I could probably preach an entire message that could have some intrigue and say, we're in a battle and we got to be ready to fight. And it might even make you get excited at points and say amen every once in a while. And I could just leave it at that and I have served you not. Like, it would not do you good. So the awareness alone, I don't think is quite enough. I'd like to be a bit more practical today, if I may. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you three things. Now, these are not exclusive. It's not like the only things. It's just three things that God put in my heart for us to be able to go into spiritual warfare and win. Okay? Is that cool? All right. So let's get started. Here we go. I'm going to get practical right away. The first thing is this. I think this might be perhaps one of the most critical things is that we need to know our identity. So if you're a follower of Christ Jesus, it's imperative that you understand who you are. Like, the identity is really important to us as we follow Christ Jesus. Let me just show you some scripture. The Bible says in Romans 8:15-17, it says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, right? We're talking about boldness this month. Like, no. Like, we don't shrink back. We're not cowardice. We're not afraid. We're not slaves. We're not timid. No. We have a sense of boldness. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you. Come on, this is where I want you to focus, as his children. Like, if you're walking with Christ Jesus, you're a child of God, meaning you bear his name. All right, let me make this as practical as possible with this. Maybe when you were, when you were growing up and your mom says, hey, go tell your brother it's time for dinner. And you run upstairs and you're like, hey, it's time for dinner. Boom, shut the door, run back downstairs. You're getting ready. 5, 6, 8 minutes go by. Mom's like, where's your brother? I told him. Time for dinner. Okay. Go upstairs, tell your brother, mom said, it's time for dinner. You run upstairs, yo, mama said, time to go eat. Little brother came downstairs, right? Because mama don't play no games, right? When it's time to eat, mama's house, you get to the table. Okay, all right. What the thing is, like, your siblings didn't really care about you. But they actually, like, mama matters. You know what I'm saying? The authority of the house matters. There's somebody that's behind what you're saying. Okay, 10-4, like, I'm on the way. And I honestly think that many followers of Jesus forget. We actually go into spiritual warfare oftentimes thinking that it's all up to us. Like, I hope I'm disciplined enough. Hope I'm good enough. Hope I'm strong enough. Hope I have enough endurance. Man, listen, you live in the Father's house. You like, when I go toward the enemy, I don't have to talk about the enemy as though, like, I'm like, let's go. I can be like, hey, Dad said, move out the way. Amen. Because it's different when I have the identity of the Father with me. Because when I can go upstairs to the enemy, be like, hey, get out the way. Or I could go up there and be like, yo, my father said, get up out the way. And there's a difference because I know whose I am. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And there's benefits to it. And the Bible says, it goes on to say that we call him Father, dear Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. There's a spiritual affirmation that you are my son, you are my daughter, but I don't have it all together, I'm not perfect, I make mistakes. No. Are you in Christ Jesus? Then you have his name. And understanding that we are children of God gives us a different kind of authority when we face our enemy. Because I'm not saying like, hey, it's time for dinner. I'm saying mom said so. Mama said, right? Okay, it goes on to say, and since we are his children, we are his heirs, meaning like we get what he has, right? How many of you guys had to ask permission to go into the refrigerator at your house? Probably not. How many of you guys had to ask permission to sleep in your bedroom? Probably not. Why? Because you were in your parents' home. Like it was you got what they got. Come on, am I making sense? I mean, I know it's a little bit silly, but like if we can get this understanding, then we will stand differently before the opposition of the enemy. We'll stand a little differently because I'm not standing here in and of myself because I'm not enough. And most of us know that. In fact, I think it's select few people that have like an arrogant kind of a all about themselves mentality. I actually think that most people that walk with Jesus probably disqualify themselves more often than Jesus qualifies them. Preaching pretty good right now. So we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. That part of the verse comes with some gravity. Because I was like feeling real built up and real good till I got there. But I want, that's going to really transition us into my next point. I want to talk about that. I really want to talk about that. Because I think that there is a bit of a myth that sometimes exists in our ways of thinking. And I just want to like call it what it is and try to help us to better understand. Because I think that I'm as guilty as anybody else. So I'm with you. Don't think that this is like judgment or anything like that. It's just an awareness that I see in myself and I certainly see in other people. That sometimes we think that, man, when I give my life to Christ, that like things are just going to be awesome. Like the Lego movie, everything is awesome, right? Or because I've been faithful, I've been coming to church and I've been in a group and I've been giving and I've been doing all the right stuff that like, well, things should go my way. And then when things become adverse, when there's problems, when our kids aren't listening, when all of a sudden the car broke down and we don't have the money for the repair, all of a sudden when we lost the job that we thought was secure, when all of a sudden, when the world starts to come undone around us, what we tend to do is we'll put our scorecard up. Like this, God, this isn't fair. I've been to church 37 times in a row. I didn't miss life group one time last, not even once last. In fact, I brought the snacks. And all of a sudden, like when the enemy begins to put his strategy at work with his power that's mighty, the scripture said. Like we're wrestling against something that's pretty strong. And when he comes against our lives with his strategy, too often times we're looking at ourselves. We're not looking at ourselves in the identity of Christ. We're looking at ourselves. So sometimes we don't think we have the strength to go against the enemy, and then sometimes we think we have a scorecard that should go against the enemy. Am I preaching right now? When neither of those are good, neither of them work. No. In fact, I am just a son of the Most High God, which means that I have benefits to being in his family. Power, because I bear his name. I'm an heir with him, and his spirit confirms with my spirit that I am his, regardless of the mistakes I make or the stupid things that I do. I am his child. And then when the world starts to come undone around me, then I actually have an awareness that like I know what this is. It's a strategy of the enemy to pull me off course, and the enemy wants me to believe that if I'm good enough, that I get grace enough, but that's not how Jesus died. The blood of Jesus is unmerited favor. We get what we don't deserve. And so the next little portion that I want to talk about is this, write this down, is we have to prepare ourselves mentally, like a mindset, and this is big to me. I'm a very much mindset type of a person. And in light of the reality that today we have this sports theme outside. Can I use a sports story? Is that okay? I know. Some of you guys like Star Wars and stuff, whatever. But just follow me, okay? Follow me. I could have given you dozens of examples, but I'll give you this one. I'm going to go all the way back to freshman year of high school for me. Freshman year of high school, I love football more than you can imagine. I think it's the greatest game on earth. I think it's the ultimate team sport, and I could spend the rest of my time telling you how great American football is, okay? I really can. I still find inspiration from it today. I still love it as much today. I think, well, maybe a little less than I did as an athlete and a player, but I love the game a whole lot. And so I'm going into my freshman year of high school with the aspiration to be a football player. Now, to give you some context, I'm going to back up a little bit to when I was in grade school and I was a little Pop Warner football player. And when Josh Hersey was a Pop Warner football player, he got picked on, made fun of, he was weak, he was afraid, and he was no good. Okay? I was like a little guy, and they issued me number 64. Code, you stink. All right? That's what that means. Now I'm going into my freshman year of high school with all the same aspirations that I want to be a football player, and I want to be a good one. And so as I head into my freshman season, and I'm skipping middle school when God did some amazing things in my life to really put some confidence in me and some build my character and such. Okay, I'm going to skip that. I was next door to our church location at St. Augustine High School is where I played. And when I played there my freshman year, it was prior to a couple of other high schools that are now in our community that were built. And so the school was over, it just had way too many students in it. Thousands of students were there. And so training camp day one, we had a freshman, junior varsity, and varsity football team out there on the practice field, hundreds of us. In fact, my first day of pads, I was in stretches, which is a pitiful thing to watch me do. I'm not flexible at all. I was in stretches, and I paused during stretches, and I just looked around me like this, all the way around me. There were 98 other players on the freshman football team that looked just like me. Same hat, same shirt, same pants. And I was standing there thinking to myself, I've got to find a way to distinguish myself, because only 11 guys are going to hit the field at a time, and I need to be one of those 11. And so I created a mindset. Amen. I created a mindset. And here's what I told myself. I said, I'm going to be the nastiest, baddest, hardest-hitting joker on this football field. I am going to find the biggest, toughest, strongest dudes out here, and I'm going to hit them in the mouth. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring everything my 165-pound frame has to offer. I'm coming at you. I would actually, in hit drills, I would target and find the biggest, the toughest, the strongest. I would count down, and I would position myself in line just to go head-to-head with them. Anybody play football and do Oklahoma drills? How many of y'all loved Oklahoma? Best drill in the world. I don't even know if it's legal now. Football's softer than it was when I played. Oklahoma drills, I would find the guy getting run over, and I'd go get him out of his spot. I wouldn't even wait on the coaches. I'd just get in there and say, I got you. Get out, get out, get out. I'd get on the line. I'd line up. Man, I hate the devil. It ain't y'all. It ain't y'all. I'd get on the line. I'd line up as a linebacker, hand me the football. I don't really care, but I'm going to be reckless out here. And I'm going to tell you something. I found out something about myself freshman year of high school. By day three, my coaches knew my name. They knew who I was. I found out I love contact. Like, I don't like it, I love it. I like the sound of the collision of those helmets from the inside. I like everything that comes. I like the scuffs, the bruises, the scrapes, the limps, the ailments. I like it all. I was reckless. I was safe, but I was not afraid of you. I didn't care what you, Lawrence Taylor, let's go. You can kill me today, but I'm going to be here for you. You know, like I had that kind of attitude. It was my mindset. It was my mindset. Now, the way I transitioned to quarterback is a whole different thing, because they put me at strong safety because I could hit like a linebacker, but I could run in coverage like a DB. So I had speed and power. That's right. That's right. Come on. Give me a helmet and a mouthpiece. I got teammates in this room. I'm looking at a couple of them. Amen. You remember, Moose. You remember. All right. That's enough about me. Here's my point. I had to have a mindset. It was really about my mindset. And here's what I told myself. This is what I told myself. And my son, when he played football, lived up to this as good as anybody I've ever seen. I said to myself, people are not tougher because when they get hit, it hurts less. They are tough because they choose it. Amen. And I'm tough. Amen. And I'm going to be tough. And I'm going to show everybody out here that I am tough. Why do I say all this, use this goofy little story? One, I want to draw you in. Two, I want to teach you something about how powerful a mindset is. And three, I need us to understand that a mindset about spiritual warfare is important. That it matters. That I actually have to put it in my head. I've got to stand for a second and look around me and recognize that there's something going on around me, and I'm going to have to find a way to differentiate myself. I'm going to have to be the one that chooses that I'll hit the biggest one. I'll hit the worst one. I'll go and I will actually fight against the opposition. Enemy, you want to hit me? Hit me, because I bear my Father's name. You want to come after me? Hey, you know what? Game on, because I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm a warrior in God's kingdom, and it's not that I embrace problems or that I just welcome the stuff, but you know what? If you got a strategy, I got a strategy. You got a uniform, I got a uniform. You got a name, I have a name. Come on, it's about a mindset. A couple of verses I pray help us out are this, 1 Corinthians, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we, followers of Jesus, understand these things. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. I think like he thinks. It's a superior mindset. It's an overcoming mindset. I think the way Jesus thinks. I don't have to think in my futile, limited, carnal, or human way of thinking. No, I think in the way that my Father thinks. I have the mind of Christ. One more, and then we'll move on. 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war the way the world does. The weapons we fight with, they are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have, say it with me, divine power, something bigger than me. Because of my identity, I need to take on this mentality that I operate in divine power to demolish strongholds. For we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I love this one with all my heart. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You got thoughts about you where you disqualify yourself and you don't measure up and you're not good enough. It's time to take those thoughts captive in Jesus' name, because that's not the mind of Christ. You have a mind that's constantly putting you in unhealthy patterns or unhealthy things for your life. Let's take those thoughts captive. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. They will be obedient to Christ. I've got to get a mentality on me that says, I am a warrior in this kingdom. I am an overcomer because of Christ Jesus in me. And any thought, any distraction, anything that wants to take warfare in my mind against God's way, God's plan, God's hope for my life, I take it captive. I take it captive and I make it obedient to Christ, which I think means sometimes you're going to have to say some things you might not see. Like, yeah, look, it looks bad, but God is my provider.
Yeah. Amen.
Like every day, I pray for, every day I'm praying for that wayward child, and it doesn't look good, but he is the prodigal son in Jesus' name, and he's coming home to the Father. I'm going to take every distracting thought the enemy's trying to put in my mind about my business, about my kid, about my lifestyle, about whatever it is. I'm going to take that thought captive in the name of Jesus. No. I will have the mind of Christ. I will see it the way Christ sees it. I know who I am. Therefore, this is how I think. Amen. Last one. I'm going to land the plane real fast. The last one is this. Once I understand my identity, I grab hold of the right mentality, then I have the ability to walk in my authority. Yep. Amen. Then I actually can walk in it now. Because I've taken every other thought captive. No, I am God's son. Ladies, you would say, I am God's daughter. I am heirs and I bear his name. And any thought that's going to push against me and what God wants for me, God wants for my family, God wants for my business, God wants for my community, whatever it is. And no, I take that captive and I do it in the authority I've been given by God. Luke, the 72 returned with joy. Jesus had sent some people out to do some stuff. And they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And I love Jesus' response. He's like, yeah. That happens. It's a thing, you know. Yes, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Like I was there. Yeah, we win. I mean, that's what he's saying. Like, yeah, I know how this goes. Yeah. I just love the, I should have probably highlighted the yes, because I'm like, yeah, that's the way it works, right? Watch what he says, though. I have given you authority. I've given you some authority. If I was to send you a letter in the mail every single month, and it said, hello, this is Josh. Please submit $300 in the mail back to me every month. None of you would do it. And you'd be wise not to. Though I would appreciate the sponsorship, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. The question I have is, why do you do it when it's FPL? Oh, it's because they have the authority to ask for that money. See, I'm different than they are. I don't have authority. I can't demand money from you. It's ridiculous. But FPL can. Because if you want to maintain the power, kind of works, kind of. You pay the bill, isn't that right? It's the idea of authority. So when FPL is sending bills out to people, they are doing it with authority. Give us our money, or we cut your power out. When I do it, it would be ridiculous. Like, what? Right? Authority. I just want you to get, I'm trying to give you some like real life things that give us a grip, a mindset. I've given you authority, Jesus said, to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome what? All. Yeah, that's the emphasized word. Jesus said, I've given you the authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Not some of it, not everything but your addiction to pornography. No. All of it. Not everything but your poor self-image. No. All the power of the enemy. Not everything, but your inability to manage money and balance it. No. All of it. I've given you authority and power over all of what Satan's trying to do against your life. His strategies, his plan, yeah. You have authority over all of those schemes, all of those plans, all of those little things he's trying to do. So listen to me. Listen to me. Church on the Rock. The mindset has to be this. I'll fight for it. I'll fight for it. You got an addiction in your life? You know something? I'm a child of God, and I don't have to do this anymore. I've been wanting to get away from this. I'm going to put my mindset on, and I'm going to get in the ring, and I'm going to fight for this. Because I've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. You tired of being broke all the time? You know what? I'm going to take thoughts captive. I will not move in impulse or imbalance. I will be a wise steward. I'm rewiring how I think. Why? Because I'm God's son. I am God's daughter. You're trying to start another business, but the last several failed, and something inside you says, go for it again. Now let's go for it and be successful. Why? Because I'm a child of God, and I'm going to put on a mindset that takes every thought against my success that I feel God is calling me to captive in the name of Jesus. There's entrepreneur spirit inside of me, and I'm going to be the entrepreneur. I'm going to launch this thing. It's going to be successful, and it's going to bless people. It's a mindset. You know what? I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to tell you something. When you're in a fight, you got to be a little bit radical sometimes. A little bit radical. Man, if you missed 21 days of prayer, you missed it. That's all I'm going to say. But Wayne Saunders sitting over here, He just shared just his powerful testimony about a struggle that he had, and here's what he said. He said, I got so to the point. Here, he got it in his mind that I'm going to be a fighter. This is warfare. And he took his laptop computer outside and smashed it to pieces. Because sometimes when you're in a fight, you got to be radical. You got to do what it takes to win. Now listen to me. I played football and loved it for a few years. I got my rear end ran over sometimes, didn't I? Sometimes. I still got a scar on my elbow because of you. But you know what? Put my mouthpiece in. Let's go. I'm ready for the next. Let's go. I'm here to play. I'm here to fight. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the strategy, it's going to get you. Sometimes we called it cockroached. That's when you're on your back and all fours are up. Yeah. You just got cockroached. That's right. Well, listen, that's going to happen, but listen to me. Listen to me. Mm-mm. All right. That's fine. That's cool. I got next. Let's go. Line up. We've got to have a mentality to be a fighter. Come on, because this is spiritual warfare. Let me finish. Let me close right here. I'm going to be done in just a couple minutes. So we have been given authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Verse 20. However, I like that word. However, don't rejoice that spirits submit to you. Like, don't get so caught up in the fact that you're ultimately an overcomer in Jesus. But rejoice that your names are registered as citizens of heaven. And here's how I'm going to finish right here. Because we don't always get what we're praying for. And the hard, sad truth is, God doesn't always heal them. And sometimes we're kind of like Paul, if you're familiar with this, he described this thorn in his side, like constant battle that's always a fight. And if we're not careful, we can let that kind of stuff overwhelm us. But Jesus is like, hey, no matter what happens in the ring or on the field, listen, worst come to worst, you're going to be with me. You're with me. I got you. You will not lose no matter what happens. In the natural realm, don't you worry, because you have a name written down in my book. You're safe in my house, my family. You're my child. I got you. And here's the thing. Some of us in this room, some of us online, we are not certain where our name is. That's what I'm going to do with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to have your name written in God's book. When your name is written in that book, that's the security. That's how you gain his name. That's how you become part of his family. That's how you have his identity for you. And so listen, if you're here or tuning in online, whether you're watching live or you're doing some playback at some other point, I just want to invite you at this moment, right here and now, to make a decision to follow Jesus like many people in our church have done. Yeah, it's going to be a fight. Yeah, there's going to be some tough days. Yes, things are going to go a different way than you hoped, planned, and dreamed sometimes. But it's okay, because your name will be written in a place where you have ultimate victory. And so if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do one thing with me today. I feel like God's already done the work on your heart. I mean, if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you, and you know it. You can sense it by the Holy Spirit. He's moving your heart. So I'm asking you to do one thing today, and that's just to repeat a very simple prayer after me. This prayer is not magic. It's not special. It's just my words that line us up with what the Bible asks us to do, and that is that we verbally express our faith in Jesus. And so that's what I'm going to guide you to do. Now, church family, those of you in the room, if you've said it before, if you're following Jesus, you know this. I always ask everybody to say this prayer with me. And the reason is I want the people saying it for the first time to be able to say it with total and complete confidence, okay? So here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, would you just put your hands together? Congratulations to those that made that decision. It's awesome. It's awesome. Hey, stick around just a couple of minutes. We're going to receive communion together, and then we got a couple of things for you here in the news.